If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. We want to start off this new year. It's kind of a thing Kathy likes me to do the first Sunday into the new year, to set a precedent of what we want to do, where we want to go, what we're going to do when we get there. And we're going to finish good and finish strong for 2011. And God will bless it and honor it. This is a very familiar story in the scripture. Title of the sermon this morning is Great Expectation Produces Great Faith and Great Results. I kind of got this message or the title of it the other day. I was sitting there and I noticed something that pregnant women do, especially when we're getting close to their time of delivery. They rub their stomach a lot. They can be sitting there and they're rubbing that stomach. I don't know if it itches. I don't know what it is, or maybe just wanting to touch the baby or whatever. And I watched that, and I'm going to deal. This is one of the points of the mess. I'm going to deal with it a little later. And it hit me. Faith is the womb where revelation takes its first breath. And I looked at that. And I remember when Aurelie was pregnant, for Catherine, she would rub her stomach a lot. I don't remember Kathy rubbing her stomach, but that's been so long ago, I don't remember. I wasn't saved in those days. And I find most of them just kind of do that. Because, you see, harvest is coming. And when you expect, you deliver. You birth. Now, I want you to see this woman here. And I'm going to do a little teaching this morning to kind of break this thing, and we'll go with it from here. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Now, notice this. She's not in the flock. She's not an Israelite. Jesus did not come for anybody else than the household of Israel at that time. Came out of the same coast and cried to them, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She calls him Lord and asks for mercy. "Thou son of David." So she recognizes his lineage as a king. "My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." She has a daughter that is demon possessed. Jesus, under direction from God, because you see what God says you do, he says he answered her not a word, which people think is rude. But no, see, Jesus is line upon line, precept upon precept. He's a word person, you could call him that. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, now notice this, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." In other words, she figured the people that work for him ought to have the same power as him. Especially if you're hanging around him. You ought to be able to manifest or do what your leader says. Because Jesus is that perfect example. Now here's a woman that's not a church woman. She just got a girl that's hurting. She's a mama and she don't want to see her daughter grievously vexed. So she says, "I need some mercy. You're the son of David. Help me." Notice this. But he answered and said, very truthful, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, most people would have quit right there. They would have said, "Who do you think you are? I'm asking for prayer. You turning me down?" But this woman had something in her called great expectation. And of her great expectation, her great faith was starting to come. Now, you can have both of those, but if you don't get great results, it doesn't help you too much, does it? Look what she said. "Then came she and worshipped him." Most people would not do that. They would be mad and angry. But she worshipped him, saying, "Lord," still calling him Lord, "help me." But he answered and said, he tells her again that he is bound by this, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Now, when's the last time a preacher called you a dog? Would you still like him? Okay, a pig. That'd be worse, wouldn't it? Because you see, according to Israel's history at the time, everybody else was dog, buddy. But you see, she was wanting something, not needing something. See, when you want something hard enough, you go beyond that need trash. You become violent with your faith. Look what she says. And she said, she could have said, "What? What?" She said, "Truth." In other words, "I know who I am, Lord." Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now that's great expectation. Now, out of that great expectation, great faith is produced that she shocks Jesus. He says, woman, great is thy faith. When's the last time God told you that? Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In other words, I ain't got to come over and pray. I don't have to go over there and lay hands on her. Your faith, girl, is going to make this happen. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great faith, great expectation, great faith, great results. Working together. That you don't have to actually be in church. It's nice to have the pastor come over or someone or you know, your leader or whatever. But my God, there's something in you greater than anything around you. Write this down. Great expectation is a link in the chain of God's design. He created man to expect. He created woman to expect, or in other words, to birth. His primary law of everything he does is sowing and reaping. It's in the human kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. And the financial, it's everywhere. Sowing and reaping. The church is known only of sowing. Thought reaping was greed when it was actually growth. See, but they tried to get their growth by their own hand and it didn't work. You've got to trust God, your great expectation. People look at me and say, boy, you believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible. That's great expectation. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, I guess he's just going to get it. Yes. Amen. I had a guy mad at me when Hurricane Katrina was coming. You probably won't get any damage at all. I agree with that. Now, you would think he would. He mad. And he had his church blown away. Now, God didn't blow his church away, but I had great expectation. And I'll use something I'll get a little later. I use a seed called activity to make it function. Amen. So, great expectation is a link in the chain of God's design. Now, watch this. To be that link, you must use determined perseverance. That girl was determined. Disciples trying to run her off. Jesus said she's not worthy. Because she's not of the household of Israel. But she's got determined perseverance. To be that link, you must use determined perseverance with its conditions. I don't care what anybody say it. With its responsibilities. It depends how much you want something. And its ventures. What you're willing to do to get it. Because you're going to always have some Christian trying to shut down your vision. Trying to shut down. They got Christian telling people don't tithe. That don't work. Christians, I can understand the sinner. Reading the same Bible you're reading. But you see, they only want the parts they like. It's hard to separate the pizza from the meat. Now you can. It's called Atkins. Atkins diet. Just eat the top of it. But you're licking on that so bad on it, you want to eat them little crunchy ends off the end of pizza. And someone told you if you burn it, the calories go. Yo mama, calories don't go nowhere if you burn that bread. To be that link, you must use determined perseverance with its conditions. There's a condition to this. With its responsibilities and with its ventures. In other words, it makes no difference. She says she refused not to accept an answer. I know who I am, but that don't make no difference who I am. It's who he is. What are you willing to believe? I just don't know if I can be debt free. Well, when are you going to know? How many times we got to say that? Oh, y'all listening this morning. Lord Jesus. Even the people on the world going. When are you going to believe it? Get your time frame here. When are you going to know? See, that's that responsibility. That's that determined perseverance. The conditions. Yeah, but man, it's taking every dime for me to live. All right. I'm not denying that. When are you going to know? I tell you when you're going to know. When you make up your mind, you're going to get your answer no matter how much junk somebody says about it. You are meeting the condition, meeting the venture, and meeting the responsibility. Write this down. Never give up until you get what you want. Why? It will get you a personal interview with Jesus Christ. That woman got a personal interview with God Almighty. Not too many of them did. But she had determined perseverance. She had great expectation. She had great faith. But her daughter needed great results. See, people get mad at me. Oh, you just think that God talks to you. He certainly does. I've had several interviews with the Lord. I don't believe it. I don't care. I can't tell you how much I don't care if you don't believe it. Oh, I made you mad there. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm going somewhere. You want to sit back and let the devil beat your brains out, kill your kids and your grandkids. You go do what you got to do. But I'm setting this thing up for my daughter. I'm setting this up for my grandchild. And I tell you, I'm hoping to be here when she has a baby. You see what I'm saying? Why? Determined perseverance. And I'm taping everything I said. That if I'm not here, I'm going to say, listen to your grandfather. You never give up until you get what you want. Not what you need, what you want. It will get you a personal interview with Jesus. Now, what made it happen? Her determined perseverance. She refused to listen to her own thought pattern. Yeah. Her thoughts were saying, who does this guy think he is? Call me a dog. It's not meat. You're not here. Write this down. Great expectation produces great faith and great results when you refuse to be offended. Most people leave church because they're offended. Not because they think there's more to offer over there. That's hogwash. They just kind of, yeah. They didn't shake my hand. They only gave my baby one vanilla wafer. I didn't know. I thought that they would give vanilla wafer or something like that. I don't know. She refused to be offended. See, most preachers preach great faith, and that's good. But that woman had one thing on her mind, great expectation, great faith, and I need this great result. I got to help my daughter here. But she probably rubbed her stomach when that baby was in her. And I'm not going to let the devil destroy my daughter because I got a son of David here that can handle this. See, she refused to be offended. Why? Write it down. The prize you're looking for is greater than your pride. The prize you are looking for is greater than your pride. Can't eat pride. Don't make no difference what people say. They're going to say what they want anyway. I mean, I like people saying nice things about me. Most, a lot of them do, a lot of them don't. And I understand that. I'm just as human as anybody else, but I just go on. We were talking about an individual the other day, and I told Kathy, I said, oh, if I was at Houston and he walked in, I'd buy him dinner. Well, I'd have him on there. I ain't buying him dinner. And she wasn't mad. Well, she was mad. Yes, she was. Now, that doesn't mean I'm better than she is, by no means. She said, how can you do that? Well, I refuse to be offended. I have a right to be offended in the natural. But you see, the prize is far greater than my pride. You know how many preachers in New Orleans have been talking bad about me for over 32 years? And affected me. And affected me one iota. I tell you what, that prophet stuff, that stuff don't work. Well, go see the car I'm driving. Go see the house I'm building. And I'm not bragging on it. Hey, you want some manifestation? Go look. Or you're trying to hide it. How you going to hide that? Can't hide that. You can't hide that. Am I trying to show off? What's the difference between being offended and hurt? Very simple. Very, very simple. Simple. And I've said it before. I got to say it. See, when you get hurt, you look for someone to heal you. You're like a child. Mom. You ever notice how a baby can be hurting, but that mama grab and just hug that baby? And that baby's still hurting, but there's just something about that affection and love that kind of, I don't know, puts a band-aid, for lack of a better term, over that. See, that's when you get hurt, you look for someone to heal you. Oh, but when you get offended, you look for somebody to hurt. Church mafia kicks in. I'm going to make them an offer. They don't refuse. I ain't dealing with great expectation, great faith, or great result. I'm dealing with killing here. If I can't kill him with a gun, I'm going to kill him with my mouth. That's an offense. Buddy, when you get offended, all your expectation dies. All your faith dies. You can forget your results. And you better get ready for recession. And if you continue in it, you get into depression. So what's the difference? When you get hurt, you look for someone to heal you. But when you get offended, you look for somebody to hurt. This woman refused to be offended. Why? Because her prize was greater than her pride. Isn't that a good statement? I love that. Are y'all enjoying this? Oh, my God. Write this down. Refusing to be offended is a strength. I like that. Refusing to be offended is a strength you must develop in order to succeed God's way. You got to develop it. It's a strength in order to succeed in God's way. Because there's always somebody saying they don't like you. There's always somebody, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's human nature. Who knows? Well, he never was truly saved. Yeah, he was. I learned something. You know, people give me books all the time for Christmas. I had some wonderful book. Somebody gave me Drew Brees' book. I've been reading it. I really like that one. I just read Decision Points by George W. Bush. I really enjoyed that. I went through that thing. And somebody gave me a Tony Blair, My Personal Story, the Prime Minister of England. I'm reading that. I'm an avid reader. Tony Blair said something I was reading yesterday that really ministered to me. He said one of the biggest problems that a politician makes when someone disagrees with them, and it dawned on me, preachers too do that. They call them wicked. No, they're not wicked if they disagree with you. They just may have a different course. But why would you take them to the development of wicked? No, wicked. No, they're not wicked. And when you do that, then you hurt people or you get offended. No, they may see something you don't see, or you may agree to disagree. There's President Reagan and Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, when President Reagan was living. I mean, they fought like cats and dogs. You'd hear Reagan at the State of the Union said, is Tip smiling? But you know, after all that Congress stuff, they would come together and go get something to eat, have a beverage and drink. They were good friends. Reagan didn't think that Tip O'Neill was wicked, but most politicians make that mistake. And I said, most preachers and most Christians. You know, if you don't believe in prosperity, you don't believe in healing, I don't consider you wicked. I consider you like pain. I don't like pain. Evidently, you like pain. When the Lord get ready, he's going to heal me. Hurry up. You see, and I really appreciated that. And I said, you know, that's so true. Because I don't think of people when they do bad things. They may do bad things, but or they may totally disagree with me. And they have that right. I don't know it all by no means, but I don't call them wicked for it. We have in the United States the left and the right and the center. Nobody really knows what that is. Because they all change. He's going to the center. He's the extreme right. He's the extreme left. No, all of them have a belief in a democracy. And democracy, if you want to entitle it, it's one word. It's called debate. You debate an issue. But when you start hurting people, when you start cussing them and calling, see, now that is, you think they're wicked and they're not. They just have a different way of looking at something than you do. You see, that was the problem with the disciples. The disciples did not think that woman should get her miracle because she was not a Jew. She was of the land of Canaan. But Jesus said, I'm going to give her a personal interview. She ain't wicked. She just wants her daughter healed. Now, people say, I try to make this work, Brother Jesse. Write this down. A weak person who has no faith in Christ is actually a king who does not know his own royalty. You know, if you don't have no faith in Christ, that doesn't stop you from still being a king. The Bible said he made you kings and priests in this life. You just don't know. You don't know your own royalty. Prince Philip, the one that's married to Queen Elizabeth. I mean, he's a prince. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care if he was married to Queen. He's a prince. And the gentleman's getting married there, Princess Diana's boy there. What's his name? William and Kate. And, you know, it's not amazing they don't want no servants. That's going to change. Mark my words, it's going to change. Yeah, but that's okay if you don't want to. Because then when you first get married, you think you can live on love. You can't live on no love. You got to eat, man. You got to wash clothes. Oh, honey, we're just going to stay here and kiss each other. Your lips going to get sore. You're going to want some food. You're going to need something other than just love. So a weak person who has no faith in Christ is a king who doesn't know his own royalty. Now, to understand great expectation producing great faith and great results, I said this a while ago, I used the word activity. Write this down. Activity is the physical seed of your future. Activity is the physical seed of your future. It tells others you're on to something. Why? Because you're moving. Activity is the physical seed of your future. If you think you're going to sit there and future's going to come to you, you're living in a dream world. But it's telling others, hey, you're on to something. You're going somewhere. You're active. You know, people that are active do things. You know, in every area, people that normally win political campaigns are very active people. I don't see how some of them can stay up and sleep half hour for 3 days for trying to win that election. But it's activity. You got to do it. If you're going to win this election. So activity is the physical seed of your future. It tells others you are on to something. So I'm constantly doing something somewhere. I'm constantly thinking about something. Why? Because it's the seed of my future. Brother Jesse, what's the Lord saying to you? I said, you hadn't heard it yet? Because he's not saying something different to me than it is to you. Yeah. We're the same family. Amen. We're the body of Christ. Yes. We should be saying the same things. Problem is people start saying their opinions instead of what he said. Yes. And God is not an opinion. He's a living reality. Yes. Now, let me get to this part here. Faith is the womb where revelation takes its first breath. That's why I'm a man of faith. Lord Jesus, I love faith. But I couldn't get there till I had great expectation. But faith is the womb. Oh, I love that. Or where revelation takes its first breath. But when that baby takes its first breath, the faith is still alive in the womb. But it's in a different dimension. Think about that. But for that baby to function out here, that baby can't breathe water. That baby gonna have to breathe air. Or in other words, understand the conditions, understand the responsibilities. Notice that. Understand the adventure. He or she got to suck wind so they can start breathing. And watch this. You ain't going back to breathing water. God never goes back. I love what the great missionary minister of England, Dr. Livingston. You might have seen the movie Stanley and Livingston. They told him, you know, he's 80-something years old. Man, you're going to die on this field. He said, well, man, I'm preaching the gospel. They said, well, don't you want to go home? He said, I'll go anywhere as long as it's not backwards. In his 80s. I ain't going back. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching out to those things which are before. That's activity. You're pressing toward the mark for the prize of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to press for it. You want to lose weight? It don't come by just saying it. I promise you, you can lose weight for about 30 minutes. All of a sudden that mind says they're getting serious. Send up a burp. Do something here. Get their attention. A little stomach pain. Something. Show them a picture. And my Lord, within 6 hours, you'll put chocolate on broccoli. She don't care. Just something, man. Jeez, if I could just have something. Faith is the womb where revelation takes its first breath. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's all in there. All you have to do is develop it. Now, how do I get great expectation to work, to produce great faith, to produce great results? How do I do that? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1 real quickly. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Very simple scripture. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. This is how you get great expectation to go into great faith to get great results. This is how that first breath from the womb of revelation begins to breathe. You see, it is the willing and obedient life which creates and nurtures the atmosphere for faith to breathe and grow. Notice if something's not breathing, it's dying. Let me say it again. It is the willing and obedient life which creates and nurtures the atmosphere for faith to breed and grow. See, you just got to be willing and obedient. In my giving, I'm willing and I'm obedient. I have actually, it's become a habit forming in my life. I'm just willing and obedient. Could you use that money properly? Yeah, that's not the issue. I'm just willing and obedient. He said, I eat the good of the land. People get mad because I eat the good of the land. I'm just being willing and obedient. That's why I got great expectation. That's why I have great faith. Oh, that's cocking. And oh, that's truth. That's why I get great results. That's why I'm able to do what I do. What if you lost everything? What would you do? Start over. What makes me is not what I have. My physical things that I have, that doesn't make Jesse Duplantis. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I go broke, he go broke. I go to jail, he go to jail. I go to worshiping, he go to receiving. Wherever I go, he goes. You see, it's being the willing and the obedient life. You see, people say, why do you always want so much? And when you say that, people think you're talking about just money. No, I want spiritual, physical, and financial. Why? This is the point. One of the great cravings of our nature is our craving for more light. I want to know how to work faith more. I want to know how to work expectation more. I want to know how to work results more. It's a craving. Yeah. You ever get a craving? Lord Jesus. You ever eat? Now, I don't know. Yeah, but for some reason, if you eat crawfish and you suck the heads, how many of y'all suck the heads? Okay. Yeah. Some of you visitors, y'all don't understand. I'm telling you, man, it'll kill anything in your body. But boy, you eat a couple, 3-4 pounds, you get kind of full. And after about an hour, you want something sweet. Your body said, we are full of salt. Lord Jesus. Whew. I got to get something sweet here. Whew. Why? It's a craving. People say, how did Kathy marry? She craved me, man. She would just come after me. Jesse. I said, come, little one, come. Okay. I'm preaching here. I'm lying like a dog. Y'all forgive me. There's a wonderfulness to crave more light. I want to know more about God this year than I did last year. Not so I can impress someone, because I just want to know. I want to know how. I want to know why. I want to know where. And I want to know when. Sometime when they're building the house, they don't tell me nothing because, you know, I own the place. But I mean, there's sometimes I just don't know how they do what they do. So I stand there and watch them. I said, how are they going to cut that? And I've learned something about Richie. He got a tool to do anything. He pulled a tool out the other day and I thought, now what is this thing? He said, I'm going to cut that. I said to myself, he ain't going to cut that. Beep. I tell you one thing. I thought he was going to saw the house in half. A little tool, but I don't even know the name of the crazy thing. But buddy, it go to town. I mean, it just does the job. Here you got a slab, and Kathy says, I want to move that receptacle. But it's in the slab. Why didn't you think about that before we pulled the slab? But see, Richie, he is more developed in great expectation, great faith, and great results in building the house. I'm not. He said, that's no problem, Jesse. We'll just cut it. And Kathy goes, why don't you just go home somewhere? Just sit down, go do something. And sure enough, I hear, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, chips of concrete, they go to my money. Look at my money. I paid for that. But all of a sudden, now she can move her sofa. So she can put a lamp. Yeah, but it was on the plans. Why don't we go with the plans? Why do we have to change them? That's been my biggest thing on this whole building, even with this church. Why do we got to change something? Wasn't the first idea good? Why do I got to change something? Pay for the same real estate twice. But Richie never tell Kathy no. He said, we can do that. He tell Tammy no a lot, but he don't tell Kathy no at all. But he said, I'm going to kill you, man. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, his idea is right. Kathy's idea is right. It does look better. It just does look better. See, that's that first breath of revelation. Never be an accident waiting to happen. Be a success waiting to birth. You never be an accident waiting to happen. You're a success waiting to birth. So I expect to be more successful this year. And my possessions does not make me a success. It's Christ in me that makes me a success. It's not what I own or what I have. You see what I'm saying? It's just Christ in me. So I'm not an accident waiting to birth. Or to happen. I'm a success waiting to birth. So in a sense, I'm kind of like that woman. I just rub myself. Because there's success inside of me. Spiritually, physically, financially. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight me. That doesn't mean, man, it's an easy road. But I'm a willing and obedient. I want to eat the good of the land. Now let me say this in close. To be wise, you must grasp this revelation as a whole, not just parts of it. The problem with ministry and people understanding the scripture, they don't grab the revelation as a whole. They grab a part of it and make it a doctrine, which separates Christians with the church of God, with the church of Christ, with the church of God, a prophecy in Christ. We are the assemblies of God. We're the Catholics. We're the first. We're the Baptist. We're Methodist. We're Episcopalians. We're Presbyterians. What they're telling you is they have a certain doctrine. They have grabbed something, but not the whole of it. They can't worship together. God gave the Holy Ghost to a black man named William Seymour, the Zuzu Revival. Oh, brother, what an amazing happening. Charles Parham, great white guy, great priest, received it too. But you know what? Within 14 years, actually about 10 years, they separated the black people from the whites. How you can do that? They did a good job of it. They did a whole complete job of it. And thank God that Covenant Church has broken that barrier. Look around here. Amen. We don't have any of that problem whatsoever at all. Because we believe the same thing. But why can't we just come together in the unity of the faith, not the unity of doctrine? Now, give me a prime example. I love Word of Faith. I do. I just love the way they believe, because they believe the gospel the way it is. And in the early 80s, Brother Kenneth Copeland and Brother Kenneth Hagin would preach. Everybody was preaching. Brother John Osteen and Brother Charles Capps, all these what are called Word of Faith preachers, were preaching on Romans 4:17. They all kind of flew. And he called those things that be not as though they were. That's one of my favorite scriptures, not my favorite. He called those things that be not as though they were. And if you're imitators of God, then you should call those things that be not as though they were. What a revelation. But see, people picked it up, only a part of it. All right. They begin to call those things that are not. When God never told you to call things that are not, he told you to call things that be not as though they were. They received a part of it, and then people wrote books that the Word of Faith was Gnosticism, the seduction of Christianity, all these different things, because they didn't pick up the revelation as a whole, but only a part. Prime example, the Bible says, look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, I can explain calling those things that be not as though they were, and calling those things that are not, in that verse. The extreme, quote, quote, confessionists would say this, because they only picked up the part of the revelation. You see that pimple? It's not there. Well, what is it, a pepperoni sausage? Yeah, it's there. That's calling things that are not. God never said that. He said, call those things that be not as though they were. Now watch. Taking that scripture, look not at the things that are seen. The extreme confessionist denied it. And the other person looked at it. You see that? I don't believe that stuff, all that. Kept looking at it. He said, look not. He didn't say deny it. One denied and the other looked. Both of them were wrong. Look not at the things which are seen.
Then Satan and I said, don't look at it. For the things which are seen are temporal, are subject to change. Now, the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, that's calling those things that be not as though they were. The extreme confessionists denied it. The other religions looked at it. When I say look, Christian denominations. You're going to damn me. You want me to say I'm healed and I'm sick. Now, see, you picked up a part of a revelation instead of a whole.
Yes.
And caused all kinds of, even till today. They picked up a part of prosperity instead of the revelation of prosperity. Every church that I know of today is receiving a collection. But watch how they oh, we don't receive it. We just put a bucket in the back. What's the bucket for? But we don't believe in prosperity. Send me your bucket. Oh, that made you mad there. Yeah, that's stupid, brother. That's the craziest thing I ever heard of. That's dumb. See, that's picking up a part of a revelation instead of a whole. You can't expect 100-fold on every seed you sow. You just call Jesus Christ a liar. Yes, you can. Oh, but that's insanity. No, that's scriptural. You just hadn't got there. You think it's greed and God says it's growth. You got to grow to get there. You just got to grow. You just keep saying it there. Just bless God, just say it. But see, picking up parts of it instead of the whole of it. What would you do if you bought a pizza from Domino, opened it up, and there's two slices gone? Would you bring it back? That's what people are doing in Scripture. Priority always works with order. You never put money in a machine that says out of order. Why are you doing it in church? Uh-oh, somebody shout somebody. Hey, that's good, huh? Come on, baby, that's good. You got to put that on your blog, baby. You got to put that on your blog. Oh, yeah. You don't never put money in a machine that says out of order. Priority always works with order. Picking up a part of a revelation instead of a whole. When I received, call those things that be not as though they were. And when I looked at that scripture, look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. I said, I understand that. And people say, you telling me to say I'm healed when I'm sick? No, you saying that. I'm saying, say what Jesus said. Hallelujah. By his stripes, you were, you are, you am, you is. However you want to say it, healed. But I am sick. I'm not dealing with your am sick. I'm dealing with your were healed. If I can get you to look at your word healed like you're looking at your am sick. You've heard me say it 100 times. I've said it once. If I can just get you to look at your answer like you're looking at your problem.
Hallelujah.
It is not an easy thing to do. Because what happened is religion has picked up parts of revelations. We have people today that love Jesus but don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in that. Because that's impossible. To you. But not to God. People want to limit. God can't have a son. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. I agree. But God can do what he wants. He God. He saved you, didn't he? Most people never thought he could do that. Think about that for a minute. Are y'all enjoying this? This is great expectation. What do you believe in, Volpeo? Are you going to get it? Yes, you're going to get it. Ron's going to get it. Y'all going to get it? How long does it take? What do you worry about that? You're a timeless individual. People keep asking me all the time, me and Richie and Kathy, when are you going to that house? When y'all going in? When y'all going in? When y'all going in? I tell you what, I don't think y'all have built that, but they all want to come look at it. Uh-huh. We got to lock the door to keep people out of it. Yeah. The ones that don't like it. What you come looking at my blessing for?
Come on, brother. Come on.
You do like it. You just don't want nobody to know. You've grasped a part of that. Oh, he don't need that. See, that's a part. You don't know what I need. I don't know what you need. Let me say this and close again. Write it down. To sustain abundance. How many of y'all want to sustain abundance?
Yeah.
You must serve God with attention.
Yeah.
Come on. Attention. Diligence. Which will cause overflow to claim your entire person. Attention and diligence will grab your body and claim it and cause overflow to flow in it. Very simple scripture most people miss. Having done all the stand. Why do you get aggravated standing? You learned it from your kids. Just sit there, boy. Just sit. Just sit down. And all you ask him to do is be willing and obedient. You can't take a part of this and make it a whole. It has to. When you buy a pizza, you want all the pieces. Right? Small one, medium and large. And you don't mind giving a couple slices away if you do it. You'll open it up and I say, hey, you want a piece of pizza? Right before Christmas, we were off for Christmas. We went to see that movie. I can't remember. Some movie we went to see. At the 12, I think that's what it's called. I was feeling pretty good, you know. Kathy said, get me a popcorn and give me some water. And I said, okay. So I'm in line, you know, like that, man. And I only had a $100 bill, you know. But I've learned something. They got money at the concession stands. Why? Because a box of popcorn is $187. I mean, you know, they got some money at them concession stands. I'm talking piece of candy, $4.50. Good Lord, Jesus. You know? They got some money at them concession stands. So, you know, I bought some popcorn and blah, blah, this and all that kind of stuff. And there was this couple behind me, a man and lady. I turned around and gave him she gave me my change. So I got to stick him in. Then I got to grab the popcorn. They got to get the water. Kathy likes a straw. She wants a straw and napkins and all that kind of stuff. And if I listen to God real good, get her a little ice cream sandwich. She says, I shouldn't eat this, and just wipes it out every time. Shouldn't eat this one. So I turned like this and I said, Merry Christmas. I don't like it when people don't say Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I said, well, happy holidays, but you know it's Christmas. The reason why you're off, because it's Christmas. That's right, that's right, right. You're not going to recognize the guy that got you a day off? She goes, I never thought of it like that. Merry Christmas. I said, let me buy you a popcorn. Here, it's $25. Oh, sir, we cannot do that. I said, yes, you can. Oh, then she starts telling me, can you believe he's giving me $25? I said, yeah, buy some more. Eat some. There was a little boy. He said, take it, mama. He wants some candy or something. Yeah? The boy had more faith than the mama. He wasn't being greedy, the child. I said, let me be able to, but you don't know us. Don't need to. She didn't have great expectation, but I was going to bless somebody. Got a good result. I heard them people talk, I've never had this happen to me in my life. I said, the Lord has blessed you today. Amen. Sir, the Lord has blessed you today. Now, why did you do that? To sustain abundance. Yes. To keep it flowing. Yes. You must serve God with attention and diligence, which is causes overflow to claim your entire person. I want to be dripping with overflow. Yes. Spiritual, physical, financial. Amen. I'll say this in closing. You've heard me say it. I met a woman years ago in Indiana. I'll never forget her. She's in heaven today. But barely made it to heaven. Barely made it. And I'll tell you why. Hang on. I met her when she was 93. So she's older than Mr. Tony. She was the mama, the grandma of the church. Okay? Not a very big church. She was a great cook. So she would cook breakfast for the little staff there. And they'd come and, boy, I mean, they just loved the breakfast. House was immaculate. Could eat off her floor. Not a very big house, but clean. Living by herself, after one person helping her. She comes up to me. And when a 93-year-old woman wants to talk to you, you listen. Brother Jesse, could I have a moment? I said, yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? She says, you know, she had this concerned look on her face. And I'm thinking, well, she says, you know, you think I'm going to die? I say, excuse me, ma'am? Do you think I'm going to die? I said, well, the Bible says it's appointed unto a man wants to die. And after that, yeah, I know. She said, but I don't think I am, because every time I get sick, I get healed. I said, is that bad? She said, yes. Not from God's point, but my husband's been gone for 35 years, and he's just like he
yesterday. I love it. My children, you know, you shouldn't outlive your kids. I've outlived my children. I've outlived my grandchildren. Now, I call these people at the church my children, but I'm talking about my blood. She said, because every time I get sick, I get healed. I said, well, why do you pray for healing? Because it hurts. If I don't, you know, I don't like to hurt. So I say, Jesus, heal me. And he extends my life. Sweetheart. Wonderfully. I'm thinking, huh? Well, what I'm going to answer? I said, well, sweetheart, you don't have to be sick to die. She said, what'd you say? I said, you don't have to be sick to die. I mean, like the light went on in that little sweet lady. She said, what? I said, death and life's in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You want to go home to be with the Lord so you can see your husband and your children and your grandchildren and all that? Yeah. Well, why don't you just go? She said, I've never heard such a thing in my life. I said, you heard it today. She smiled. Now, that's on a Sunday night. Well, on Monday morning, they all went over. I preached that just that Sunday night. Monday morning, the staff go over and she cooked breakfast for them. Watch this. True story, buddy. She got them all, man. I mean, this woman could cook, you know. She says, I just want to let y'all know I love each and every one of y'all. Y'all have been such a blessing to me. But I'm going home to be with the Lord Thursday at 11 o'clock. Because Brother Jesse, I said, oh, geez, she should have used my name. I don't want to use my name. I already got enough criticism. They're going to need my name. She said, Brother Jesse said, I don't have to be sick to die. And I bless my, and I love y'all, but I just want to see my family. I want to go home be with the Lord. Now, you know what they thought there? The old lady's starting to lose it. Not bad. You know, oh, Jesus. And they get real spiritual. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. She said, but I want to cook y'all one more final breakfast before I leave. So if y'all could come Thursday. So everybody said, yes. Pastor called me. He said, Brother Jesse, I said, well, it's scripture, brother. He said, suppose she don't die. I said, then you'll have another breakfast. It's what she wants, sir, not what you want. But we love mama. They called her mama. We love mama. I said, I don't know. She loves y'all too, but she's out. She's finished. God is my witness. Thursday, they were there. She fed them about 7:30, quarter to 8. Hey, the big breakfast. She said, I have my house clean. She said, I donate all my possessions and my house to the church. So they can build a wing for the children. Watch this. Now, the lady that helped clean her house, sweet lady, she said, Mama, you okay? Oh, yeah. I'm saying, so, man, it got 10 minutes to 11. She kept looking at the glass. I mean, just happy. Now, everybody had left except her housekeeper and her. Now, she's strong. She just had a housekeeper. She said, you know, you have been such a blessing to me. You've been like a daughter to me. I'd hate to leave you more than anybody. I touch it a minute. Think about it. She said, I got 2 minutes. I left you in my will. Oh, no, Mom. No, I did. Get the house, but I'm giving you all my cash. And I got more than anybody thinks. Grandfather clock. She's sitting. Like this, buddy. She look at that clock. Ding. Ding, 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 ding. Let it hit, sting, ding. And the last one, she said, Jesus, went home to be with the Lord. No sickness, no smile. Hands came down. There's no sadness in that funeral. People say, I don't believe it. You know, I really don't care. And I don't mean that rudely. She got what she wanted. She had faith to step over. She had a great expectation, a great faith, and a great result to step over. I wonder what she said to her husband. You hadn't changed a bit. Stand to your feet.